And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Happy Thursday to you all. We hope things are going seamlessly for you today.
It's a nice day. It's pretty. It's cold yesterday. It was pretty, but it was cold.
So, Ben, there's been a couple of moments where I've been extremely proud of my now 3-year-old for a variety of reasons. I'll give you three real quick here.
Okay.
And it does kind of have to do with the weather. But first, we were riding the car the other day, and she said, "Dad, can we play a song?" I said, "Sure." And I said, "Which one do you want to play?" And she goes, "Knowing Me, Knowing You," which is like not only an ABBA song. So she didn't say, like, "I want to hear Elsa." She said, "I want to hear an ABBA song." And not only an ABBA song, but like a fairly deep cut ABBA tune, which I thought was hilarious. And then fast forward to this, Ben. You know, I wear, especially in the springtime, a lot of long sleeve shirts.
Yes.
Underneath a golf shirt or something.
Correct. It's your uniform.
So she often picks out my golf shirts, like every day.
Uh huh.
And today, she picked out my Sears shirt.
She kicks you
which
up
I'm
for your.
So
25-year-old Sears shirt.
Proud of her for picking out my Sears shirt. And the other day, Ben, and I almost cried, she came walking out of her room after picking out her own clothes and held in one hand a long-sleeve shirt and in the other hand a short-sleeve shirt.
She was going to double up.
And she said, "Dad, I want to wear two shirts today.
I'm dressing like Dad today."
And I said, "You know what? Let's do it.
I'm all for it.
Let's do it." And we got compliments at our daycare. Thank you very much. So I know people yell at us for talking about our kids too much, but man, I've been saving up my proud dad moments with my 3-year-old. I mean, knowing me, knowing you just blew my mind.
You're in a fun stage. I mean, I like three. I know people call them three-nagers, and sure, there's some of that, but I like three quite a bit. So than two, in all honesty, I like three more than two.
We've got some emotions we need to get.
Sure.
But whatever. I went to dinner with just my two kids at Dave and Buster's.
Was that where you guys ended up?
Well, not Dave and Buster's. What's the other one? Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
Quite different. But I was thinking to myself, like, where can I go where I can really watch basketball?
Yeah.
And I made the whole thing about, hey, kids, who wants to go to a restaurant where we can watch sports?
Yeah.
That's what we did.
And they got into it.
Oh, we had a great time.
Oh, good.
Maggie picked hockey for some reason because there was hockey up on the and it was like on the other side of the restaurant, but she was like, "I want to watch hockey."
Vegas, Dallas.
And then Sadie, the 7-year-old, picked a baseball game.
Oh. Super random.
The Yankees were beating somebody 2-0. I can't even the Orioles.
Okay.
And then I, of course, dialed in on the world's worst playoff game.
Two back-to-back really bad playoff games.
So it was like I've been like zen with my kids.
Good. You're on a hot streak. School's almost over. Life's good.
All right, Ben. You good? Your children good?
Everyone's happy. Happy people.
Did you go to the PTA meeting this morning?
I didn't. I didn't tune in either on the live stream.
Are we bad parents for that?
Does anyone do PTA?
I think you're like supposed to at least pretend, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I think I made a donation when she was in kindergarten.
Yeah. Right. You need money for the bus. Here's money for the bus. And if there's an emergency, let me know.
By the way, I have a neighborhood conspiracy theory for you.
Oh, okay.
That I'll share with you during the break.
Okay. Great.
Deep Cove stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Now that that's out of the way. Now that we're updated.
Well, let's talk about somebody moving out of Salt Lake, shall we?
Okay.
Chris Burgess on the move. The news broke yesterday, what, early afternoon?
Yeah.
2, 3-ish?
Yeah.
And this is something that I'm sure you kind of heard rumblings of, Ben. I certainly did. That BYU could perhaps not hire Chris Burgess as their head coach, but still bring him on staff.
He wanted the head coaching job, by everything we've heard.
Didn't get it, but still is going to be, I mean, I would guess the lead assistant, one of the lead assistants, whatever. I mean, like such titles really matter all that much, but associate head coach, I don't know. Do we know what his title is going to be? Did we see that officially? But he's headed back to BYU.
Yep.
Now, here's a guy who's had a real complicated relationship with BYU. But where do we want to start? What this means for the Cougs or what this means for the Utes?
Other news with Utah that's just breaking now is that, and I don't know if it's related, is that Kaeva Kata has entered the transfer portal. Now, what is Chris Burgess known for? Really two things. Recruiting and developing big guys. It's kind of his thing, right? He's partially responsible for Brandon Carlson and some of the success he's had with some bigs. So you lose Chris Burgess, probably not a huge surprise that Kaeva Kata decides, oh, maybe I don't want to be at Utah anymore. I like my big guy coach. I'm not going to be there. I mean, you go ahead.
Well, there's likely a little more to that story. Kata would have been at BYU had Mark Pope not passed on Kata.
Sure.
So now Mark Pope's no longer the head coach there. And yes, he probably has a relationship with Burgess given their last 2 years. And yeah, that probably makes a whole lot of sense.
So?
Because he probably would have been at BYU in the first place.
And maybe he follows him to BYU.
Right.
Seems.
That would not be too difficult to put those pieces together.
At all. I will say this. For Utah fans, I'm both going to let you off the hook, and I'm not going to let you off the hook. If you're panicking about losing Chris Burgess, you're panicking about the wrong guy. If you're worried about who your assistant coach is, you have the wrong head coach.
I don't know if I entirely buy that take, but okay.
If you who in college basketball that actually matters, do you care about their assistant coach? Who?
Well, just because the head coaches suck all the air out of the room doesn't mean that...
It doesn't mean there's not value.
Well, here's the thing is those head coaches aren't very good head coaches unless their assistant coaches recruit them players. So that is, I mean, if you want to talk about importance to staff, the Utah head coach just lost his two best recruiters.
Because DeMarlo Slocum's also going up to Washington.
In the last 2 weeks, yeah. And, you know, I don't have a relationship with DeMarlo Slocum, but I have a relationship with somebody who does have a relationship with DeMarlo Slocum, personally and professionally. And let me tell you, that guy is the connected recruiter guy and has been
sure
for a long time.
Great.
And then what do we know about Burgess? Same thing, right? Dialed in. Kaeva Kata probably has had a relationship with him going back to early high school.
Geez, Utah must have won 30 games last year. All these elite recruiters.
I get your point, but that's where it hurts.
Sure.
That's where it hurts Utah, and they have to recruit immediately because they're losing their entire team.
Here's the problem. It didn't matter when you had those guys. It didn't matter.
Right.
It didn't matter. Then you had the wrong head coach. And I'm not saying Craig Smith is the wrong head coach, but if you're only worried about who you're losing as an assistant, then you do have the wrong head coach. Because the right head coach has to know what to do with the guys he does get. And if you're not getting the right guys, then you have the wrong assistants, and it doesn't matter anyways.
Well,
so you got to win. I don't know who Bill Self's lead assistant is. Now, you know what? Tim Lacombe could come on and tell us all of it because Tim Lacombe has lived this world. He understands the values of who's Mark Few's top assistant, who's Bill Self's top assistant, who's Tom Izzo's top assistant. You can go down the line. I get it. There is value in those guys. If you're not winning at the top, it doesn't matter who your assistants are. And if you're only worried about your assistants and your head coach is not winning with them, then you've got the wrong head coach. And that's where Utah is. Because they have these elite assistants and they can't win with them, or they have a great head coach and the wrong assistants. But it can't be one or the other.
So I think it's a little more nuanced than that. I think assistants do have a lot of value, and it's not their fault that they don't get a lot of attention. Mark Few's top assistant, for example, for years is now the head coach at Arizona.
Jim Boylan was Tom Izzo's number one guy.
Right. I mean, they don't get a lot of headlines, and they should, because college basketball coaches are lunatic attention hounds. I think the assistants did a lot of work for Larry Kriskoviak, for example.
Sure.
So I don't like, I think it, the way I read it is this is a bad sign for Craig Smith. I'm not going to say he's the right guy for the job or he's not at this point, but this is a bad sign for him.
Well, having two guys jump ship tells me a lot.
Is a bad, I don't know if it tells me a lot about, and this could be an interesting conversation, does it say a lot about him as a coach or him in his particular situation at the moment?
Purely the situation, because they don't think he's going to have a job next year. So they're getting out while the getting's good.
That could be a thing. Yeah.
And you know what? It opens the door for Chris Burgess to come back next year if he wants to come back.
Here's the problem, and we've gotten into this a little bit. Like, he's in the traditional process of building a program where you better have Keith Van Horn and Andre Miller. Well, there's two problems with that. One, that doesn't exist. The build the program thing doesn't really exist anymore. And two, if the assistants thought that Keith Van Horn and Andre Miller were on the team, I don't think they'd be likely to go anywhere, because their ticket, as you point out, to being the next head coach at wherever is winning, because nobody's plucking assistants off of the eighth place Big 12 team.
Correct.
or whatever.
Or 12th.
So,
or 12th place Big 12 team.
Like, honestly, and if Mark Pope proved anything, is that the difference between out on your rear end and being the head coach at Kentucky is razor thin.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Razor thin. And so if you don't think the team is going anywhere next year, and you think next year is the year that everybody is expecting the team to go to somewhere for no valid reason other than you've been there for 4 years, then I've got to reevaluate some stuff too. Now, PK alluded to there's some other personal factors that went into his decision, and I have no doubt.
Yeah, I bet there's hundreds of thousands of dollars went into it.
I mean,
it's the most personal decision.
And I certainly don't know the whole story. So it's difficult to read into anything. But I got to think, if Burgess thought, man, we got a Sweet 16 thing coming back here, it would make at least the decision far more difficult. Or the right move might be to stay. If you're the darling of the Big 12 and you make a tournament run, well, then you're looking at a gig. You're looking at least some spotlight. So
if I'm an assistant coach, I'm looking at the place where I feel like I'm confident I'm going to have the job the longest. And if I follow Danny Sprinkle to Washington, worst case scenario, he gets 2 years. He probably gets three. Kevin Young, worst case scenario.
Yeah, he's going to be there for a while.
Getting 3 years.
At least.
Worst case scenario with Craig Smith is he has 12 months.
Yeah.
And that's not like,
and that plays into it, yeah.
Well, that's not at all out of the realm of possibility.
Now for BYU, if we've spent, you know, on what this means negatively for Utah. Now for BYU, I think they're getting a guy who's super dialed in to specifically local basketball. Now he's a Southern California guy too, which certainly doesn't hurt. But we talked about how Kevin Young had to put his own staff together of people that were dialed in to the basketball world, and he's hired a guy who's dialed into the Western United States basketball world I should have had his name in front of me, but the guy from Stanford.
Yeah.
And now you've got a guy who's super dialed in locally, super dialed into LDS recruiting in particular, I would guess, and is going to be a guy that hits the ground running.
Brandon Dunson,
yeah. So both those guys now, you know, Burgess isn't going to do a press conference because he's already at the airport, you know, are going to go out and do their thing. And that is critical for a guy who's not a college guy. So come in and get some people who are dialed in. It'll be curious to see how the staff fills out. But for BYU, I think this is a huge benefit because these are what looks like two guys that can make up for where the head coach is lacking.
It helps BYU more than it hurts Utah. Because Utah is not Chris Burgess away from winning, because if they were Chris Burgess away from winning, they would have been winning.
Well, Utah's die might already be cast, which is
exactly.
But I think it's a huge boon for BYU.
Huge plus. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the right. That's great. I mean, he was almost the head coach. Yep. He wanted to be the head coach, and he still took the job. So, yeah, huge plus.
And they're investing in the basketball program, obviously, because he's not going to come unless the salary is competitive, which, if you believe some of the rumors, the reason he left BYU in the first place was because the salary wasn't all that
Utah was paying him $250,000 to be an assistant coach.
That's, you know, you got to get in the ballpark if you're going to get him to come back. So probably a good sign. And I wonder, because Utah is leaning so much into being a football program, there's no doubt. I mean, that much is obvious. I wonder if BYU leans into the basketball more. Maybe not more than the football per se, but it has the actual ability to balance it out more because they have more resources.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've certainly made a huge investment in it. And the basketball team's better than the football program right now.
It looks that way.
Yeah. Now,
if they land the next Ty Detmer, then maybe it's a different story.
Or losing these huge transfers that they've lost this offseason to, we'll see who actually ends up at Kentucky, but Louisville, et cetera, all over the country, Jackson Robinson, we'll see what he ends up doing. You just might be terrible next year. The basketball team might be awful. They Utah and BYU might be battling for the last spot, the Big 12 next year.
Or they might be awesome. Actually, college basketball is so interchangeable now. I don't know. I know losing your recruiter in the middle of time you should be recruiting probably is not a really great thing.
Yep.
Let alone two of them.
Oh, I mean, isn't the transfer portal getting, like, you know, like, it's a mess.
But I don't know. We get so caught up in players leaving. How do you know if they're cut or or run off or leave? Especially BYU, you can be leaving for a variety of reasons. But I don't know.
Look, there's 300.
Try not to get caught up in it because Danny Sprinkle built a team overnight. And I know you were saying that's the unicorn, but that's the sign of the times.
Well, and that's the thing. There's 300 teams, meaning there's 3,000, 4,000 kids that play college basketball. The truth is, outside of the top 40 or 50 of them, there's probably 2,000 kids that are all very similar.
That are all the same thing.
Do you know how to put them in spots to have success?
Yeah.
And Danny Sprinkle did it. So can Craig Smith figure it out now?
See, I think...
Maybe he finally figures out the transfer portal and exactly what he's looking for, and he changes it up and he realizes, oh, I found lightning in a bottle. And maybe Kevin Young figures out how to do it as well. But that is on the coach at that point.
Well, I'll tell you, and maybe this is a knock on Burgess to your point. I'll tell you, he's kind of not been there long enough to really make this judgment. But Craig Smith's real problem is he did not find the next Nimi Keita. He brought Nimi to Utah State. Utah State hired him, and he said, hey, I've got this this player in my back pocket that I'm bringing to town that's going to rock your world. And then you got lucky by pairing him with another NBA player who was already there, and next thing you know, you're a hot commodity. He hasn't found the next Nimi. He hasn't found the next Sam Merrill. Larry Kraskowiak made a 10-year career at Utah for finding two players.
Yeah.
Craig Smith hasn't found that. You know what? Do we know where Osabor is going?
He's visiting. He's not going to Kentucky. He's visiting Louisville today.
Bring in Osabor along with Danny Sprinkle. I mean, we talk about the miracle Danny Sprinkle pulled. He brought the Mountain West Player of the Year with him when he landed that job. Like,
he brought Darius Brown, who was a great point guard and great Osabor. And, like, we can talk about all the other pieces that were there that were fun and had good years last year at Utah State. You know what made them really good at Utah State? That they got to be the third best player and the fourth best player and the fifth best player on the team, and they didn't get miscast as the first and second best players, because if they did, guess what? Utah State's not going dancing. No magic at Utah State last year if you don't have great Osabor and you don't have Darius Brown, because it allowed everyone else to do less and do their job better because they were asked to do less. Now, if they can't do that at Washington, he might not work at Washington at all.
He might not, because he's not bringing the guys. Ben, this is Mark Harlan's big hire. Remember, this is his first big hire, the basketball coach. And I wonder if he's regretting not asking the question in the interview, who you bring in with you.
Yeah.
Because the answer turned out to be what? Riley Wooster or?
Raleigh.
I was like, Riley, that's not it. Raleigh Wooster.
Who was hurt and is leaving.
Wasn't a game changer to begin with. So maybe, you know, that's a thing. When you're hiring these coaches, they're like, hey, guess what? I'm bringing an all-conference guy with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hire me, you're going to be good right away.
Boy, how broken is college athletics?
It's horrible. Yeah, it's awful.
The only reason you get a job now is because, you know, the best situation for Craig Smith would have been if he had left Utah, because Davon Smith was so dedicated to him that Davon Smith was going to go wherever he went.
And just go.
And he could say, yeah, I'm going to go get a 3-year contract coaching wherever, UC Santa Barbara. with all due respect to David James, and I'm going to bring Davon Smith with me. It's going to be a $4 million package. I make two, he makes two.
Stinkin' Riley rode Caleb Williams to USC Absolutely. And tried to ride him to the NFL. Yep. Remember all those stories that somehow were leaked out there? Well, Stinkin' could go with Caleb. It's like, oh, dude, that is blatant. You're just riding that you identify one player. I mean, it's like everybody in LeBron James's orbit.
Yeah, it's
they befriended him when he was 16 to 18, and now they're just still riding the coattails.
It's busted.
It's way busted. It's crazy. But yeah, then next time Utah hires a basketball coach, whenever that may be,
that's gonna be the first question.
The first question is like, are you bringing an All-American?
Yeah.
Because if you're not, then I'm gonna find somebody that is. Because apparently your acumen for coaching doesn't matter.
I need you to bring two All-Conference players.
Find me dudes.
Yep.
And then the ones that continue to find dudes can stay, and the ones that can't just get cycled out. And Craig, in hindsight, was really smart to take the Utah gig.
Yes.
It's really smart to strike while the iron's hot. And that's why you see these coaches that because universities are just addicted to hiring the new thing.
The
latest thing. Like, gotta hire that guy. Well, I think it might not be the best fit. No! Did you see his year last year?
See what he just did.
Hire that guy.
It's an addiction.
It's crazy. But it's the reason you can't blame coaches for doing it. It's like, well, I got nothing next year. All these guys are leaving. I got to take this thing while I can get it. And then I'll worry about what I'm going to do next after the ink's dry. And again, I don't want to... I don't know Craig that very, very well, if really at all, but he seems like he's been good at the station over the years. He's a good dude.
Nice guy. Yeah.
Like all that sort of stuff. And he seems like a fine coach, but like I feel like
I've hammered Craig Smith, and that's not the intention at all.
And you know what? This is, again, more a boon for BYU. It is. This is a good get for them.
It's a better get for BYU, and it's not going to – the momentum at Utah was already halted and going backwards.
Yeah.
Losing Chris Burgess is a part of it, but it's a deck chair on the Titanic.
Stay tuned. Top three stories next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Man, Charles Barkley is a national treasure. We should maybe pull this sound for later.
Is it about the Lakers and the Suns?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth playing.
Should we play that?
Yeah, let's do it.
We've got Lock at 11. Maybe we'll play it at 11:30. Or we could play it in the next segment.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. It's time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com, brought to you by Jay Brooks Jewelers. Two locations serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fashion Place Mall, the other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, a night of blowout wins in the NBA playoffs.
Just horrible games.
Oh. I told you I was tortured during dinner watching the Celtics and the Heat as the Celtics just ragdolled the Heat like they should.
As you knew they would. I'm curious, do you think this is the end of the Heat? Is this?
It could be. They're so old.
Jimmy Butler's 35. He'll be 36 next year. So he's under contract guaranteed next season. He has a player option for the next year. So he actually could still be under contract in Miami for the 26-27 season. He's there. Or 25-26. He's definitely going to be there 24-25. Man, smart teams. I would move Jimmy. I mean, they're not close. Even if Jimmy was playing, they're not beating this Boston Celtics team.
And Bam's in his prime, I guess. But
I love Bam. I would rebuild and retool around Bam.
But he's not a number one.
No,
he's
not.
I don't know if I'd retool around him even.
No, I try and get draft picks, and I try and draft a guy who will fit next to Bam and then eventually overtake him.
Honestly, and you know I picked the Heat last year, and I took a victory lap when they made it to the NBA Finals. But let's face it. They kind of fluked it to the NBA Finals.
I mean, they beat Milwaukee, and tip your hat. I mean, Milwaukee was the best team in the NBA last year during the regular season.
But remember they were doing this funky zone hybrid thing, all playoffs.
All sorts of weird stuff. And the coach's brother died.
Yeah, right.
A lot of weird stuff.
A lot of
And they caught absolute fire. Right. They could not miss from three in the playoffs for whatever reason.
But my point is I think the signs were there that maybe this was. Now, I'll tell you what I'd do is I'd reboot around Eric Spoelstra.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'd say, hey, dude, we're gonna retool this thing, but we're gonna lock you down for a long period of time because we need you to coach up whatever we decide to do. But I mean, I don't know. Does Jimmy Butler just stay there because you love him? You know, at some point he'd have to take a pay cut because you can't. He can't. I don't think he can be your number one. And I love Jimmy Butler.
I love Jimmy Butler. Absolutely, I'm with you.
But I don't think that's it. Maybe he's like a Dirk kind of thing where you just keep him along to sell some tickets as you retool, but I don't know.
Hey, I might try and tap into the phone of the Atlanta Hawks and see who calls about Trae Young and then call right back after and be like, I know you just offered this for Trae. What do you think about Jimmy Butler for 1 or 2 years?
You'd love him.
Like, honestly, if I'm the Lakers, don't you think there's a better likelihood you win a title with Jimmy Butler in the next 2 years than you do Trae Young? Like, I actually think Jimmy, LeBron, and Anthony Davis is a pretty great trio because I just don't believe in Trae Young's ability to get
but
you there.
It's so old.
He's so old. He is.
It's so old. That trio would be so old and brittle.
Yeah.
Even the young guy is just brittle.
Yeah, you might have three guys who play 45 games. Now, Anthony Davis and LeBron played a lot this year, but they played a lot this year. What does that mean for next year? They're going to be on the floor for 20 games.
Do you call what LeBron does playing, considering he's playing one side of the ball? I mean, it's not like LeBron used to be a dominant defensive player, but he's just not as good as he was.
Yeah, he's still
but he
great.
Doesn't put that energy in on that part of the floor. For example, did you see LeBron's defense on the last play when Jamal Murray made that shot?
Right.
No, you did not, because
right.
he was standing in the corner.
Yeah, he can't be on the ball, which is where he should be in that situation, swallowing guys up, and
well,
he can't do it.
You could say he can, won't. I don't know.
Whatever. He's not doing it.
He's not going to look bad. Like, Jamal Murray isn't going to break me down and hit that game winner over me, because
I'm not going to be embarrassed.
Image
I'd rather Anthony Davis do that.
And he ate a dunk from Jamal Murray, what, 2-3 minutes before?
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, Austin, you got this one, bro.
I don't know where Jimmy fits is the hard part.
I don't.
That's all. Like, I can't think of a great team that should take on Jimmy.
Well, you have to fool them into it, like Danny Ainge fooled the Nets into taking Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
And that's not to say, like, Jimmy wouldn't be awesome in OKC. He'd be awesome in Dallas. He'd be awesome with the Knicks, actually. He'd be awesome in Philly, ironically, and he can't play there. He would be really cool at the Clippers. Problem is, he makes $40 million and no one can trade for him. So that's kind of the hard part with Jimmy as well. And then the other game, it felt like the Clippers recognized they didn't have Kawhi out there. Whereas in the last game, the Mavericks were shell-shocked by Kawhi not being out there and played so poorly in Game 4. Russ is cooked. Russ doesn't
have it anymore. Well, it's been that for a while. He's only playing 16 minutes. I mean, 11 shots in 16 minutes is pretty impressive.
He had a good Game 1. His last four games, he's a combined 6 of 35.
You know, the Clippers' problem is something you pointed out, that Jimmy stayed out too late last night or something, but he just... It's so feast or famine in the playoffs with him. It really is unbelievable.
Talk about James Harden.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Jimmy Butler, who we just talked about.
No, sorry. You know, that's confusing. Jimmy Harden. Yeah. I'm good. Hey, James, we need a really good performance out of you tonight.
You know what you did in Game 4 and Game 1? Do that in Game 5.
We need that. And he's like, oh,
I'm
thinking
6 points, 6 assists.
I thought maybe...
Two or three rebounds.
I thought maybe Rusty would pick up that slack because I stayed out.
Yeah.
Pretty late.
Yeah, there's really no rhyme or reason to when he's going to play well or not play well. So it doesn't matter what he did in Game 4 or Game 1. He might just be terrible in Game 2 and 3 and Game 5. And maybe he'll be awesome in Game 6 win them the game.
You guys, you asked me to not go out to those clubs in Dallas. You asked me that. We got back, and I gotta feed the beast, man.
Home.
I'm home.
Gotta check in.
I showed a tremendous amount of restraint in Dallas. And now we're back.
Plus, they'll worry about me if they don't see me. It's been too long.
I'm putting people through college.
4:30 tonight, Milwaukee at Indiana. Milwaukee has to win to stay alive. 7 p.m., the game. My Jalen Brunson's taking on the Tyrese Maxey-led Philadelphia 76ers.
You are rooting so hard for the Knicks.
Yeah, I am. We'll see.
I hope they lose so badly.
Hey, I would actually. I would love a game seven. Sure, you want to give me game seven at Madison Square Garden?
Give me the deal. Knicks. Give me the Knicks going down in the first round. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and I heard some bozo called the Knicks this season right now special. It's like, what is your?
They've had a fun season.
What is your definition of special?
They have had a fun season.
Getting bounced in the first round ain't special.
No, it's not.
Getting bounced in the second round really ain't special.
No. Because one of Orlando or Cleveland is going to get there and get bounced in the second round, and they didn't. Orlando had a fun year. It's not special.
Not special.
Agreed. Knicks haven't had a special year. They've had a fun year.
Not a special year, a special team.
Yeah, it's not.
Not a special year, but a special team. This is a special team.
Fun to have some makings.
No, it's not.
Figuring out if Jalen Brunson's the real deal. I love the OG Anunoby acquisition. They are still at least a major piece away.
You know, said no one ever. You know when this team became special? When they acquired OG Anunoby.
I like OG.
I know, but it's not, he's not Rasheed Wallace.
No, he's not going to, by himself, get you to the finals.
What's next?
Number two, Utah's NHL team's Connor Ingram is an award finalist.
The goaltender for the yet-to-be-named Utah hockey team, though it sounds like they might try and get that name done more quickly than originally intended, has been named as a finalist for the Bill Masterson Memorial Trophy.
Now, we're just learning hockey, Ben, but am I correct in assuming that this is the award for the teammate that bought the most Molsons for everybody else over the year, the most rounds?
This is the player who best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey as voted on by the members of Professional Hockey Writers Association. Now, Bill Ingram...
It's by for the Molsons for the writers.
For the writers. Yeah. Connor Ingram does have a background with somewhat significant mental health struggles. He's overcome them. He's figured it out. I believe there was some substance abuse in there as well, and he has persevered, and... He was the guy who, you know, fired everybody up here when he was in Salt Lake City saying he'd run through the wall for you if you come out and support him like this. Like, it sounds like he's really put his life together. He's an awesome goaltender. He's one of the better goaltenders in the NHL, and he's coming to Salt Lake City. So this is cool. It's a recognition of a player who is taking care of himself and represents what you want sportsmanship to be about. So in that sense, A+.
Could I make one minor tweak to your point right there?
Sure.
When talking about substance abuse, and actually mental health for that matter, but you used the word persevered. Can I switch that to the present tense, persevering?
Yes.
Because if you talk to people who are really dealing with that, they'll tell you that they're always dealing with that and that...
It doesn't stop. You're an addict.
You've never really conquered it.
Yes. It's a...
Which
every day
I think,
you do. You have to take care of it.
Yeah.
It's not something you put in your past.
Right.
It's something you deal with every day.
I mean, that probably doesn't matter to most people, but I've talked to people where that really matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like persevere. No, dude, I'm still working. I'm still persevering. So, yeah, good on him. That's cool.
So I'm excited to get to know these guys. And he's, you know, as they always say, the goaltender is the weirdest guy on the team. Is always the weirdest guy on the team, and not because of his...
Well, who likes standing there and eating pucks all day?
Yeah, do you want to take a, I don't know, what is a puck weigh, but it's solid rubber coming at you at 108 miles an hour.
Yeah, good luck with that. You have to be a special kind of human. My buddy John, who's a firefighter, like, he's one of those guys who's, there's a gnarly car accident, you know, he's running toward it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all right, I got to get in there and do something. I'm not that guy. I'm running away, are you kidding? I mean, it's just a certain temperament that is attracted to that kind of line of work. You know what I mean? Like, I'll eat 100 pucks today. Give me your best shot.
And you know what? There's two good goaltenders with our hockey team coming in locally. Carl Vemelka also.
What do you think about that speeding up the naming process?
I'm glad he didn't do it within a week. I'm glad he didn't feel like, what was that, last Tuesday? I can't remember why. I have no idea what's going on in the world anymore.
Right.
When there was the big press conference, I'm glad he wasn't like, we got to have the jersey out then. That's how you make a mistake. So if you can get it done by fall. Yeah, you can get it done by September, October. But you know what? If the players had to just say we're Utahns for the first year as we establish ourselves, I still think that's fine. But you can get it done in 6 months. 4 months, 3 months, you can get that done. That's not impossible.
I've actually kind of bent on this, Ben, just because, like, I would say, hey, take your time, make sure you get it right. But then I think, like, there is no right. And then I think to think about the Washington football team, as they were renaming, and they took a whole year, and then they really screwed it up. They came up with the Commies, It took them a year to come up with the commies.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, might as well get to it. Somebody's not going to like it somewhere.
Oh, most people aren't going to like it.
No.
The Jazz are going to have new jerseys coming out in the next month, I would imagine.
And people are going to complain.
People be like, oh, you moron. Way to go, idiot. I thought the black and yellow was good. It was finally growing on me. Stupid. Good job. So, yeah, you can't win.
You can't. So you might as well rip the Band-Aid
off. Just do
whatever
you want to.
Yeah, right. I mean, they should have just announced commies day one.
Sure.
Why not?
Right.
All right, what's next?
Number three, Chris Burgess is back at BYU.
Talked about it a lot in the first segment. Utah assistant coach heading back to the Cougars, I think, as we talked about. I think this is a better win for BYU than it is a loss for Utah, but only because it's going to take a lot more than Chris Burgess to fix what's going on at Utah.
I think it is another prime example that BYU is investing in their basketball program.
Yeah, big time.
And you know what? The Big 12 stands out more in basketball.
And also, what else? That Utah is not.
Yeah, they're not investing in their basketball
program. I'm sure Chris Burgess told them how much BYU was going to pay him and how much it would cost to keep him.
Yep.
And Utah balked for a reason. They're not investing in it. Not this iteration.
No, it doesn't appear so.
I mean, they're going to lose Davon Smith, right? I mean, all these guys are transferring away because Utah is not footing the bill to keep them around, which means the NIL support isn't there.
Or they don't think the team's going to be very good.
So, Chris Burgess might be the best assistant coach in college basketball. He's not that good of a lifesaver. He's not a life raft
but,
like that.
But for BYU, it's a good thing, which is
huge
the story.
Plus. Huge plus. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, stay tuned. We'll play that Barkley sound for you coming up right around the corner. We'll give away some tickets as well to the RSL game coming up, taking on Seattle on May 15th at America First Field. So we'll give away those tickets straight at 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
KSL Sports Zone. This segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Locke will join us in the very next segment, but let's talk a little NBA here, Ben. Charles Barkley continues. Oh, you want to give away tickets first? That's fair. Let's give away tickets to the RSL game coming up. 801-575 zone. Well, she knows I'll forget.
Sure.
And that's fair. I probably will. Caller 12, 801-575 zone. Go see RSL take on Seattle coming up May 15th at America First Field. All right, Ben. Charles Barkley, just amazing. I mean, honestly, the NBA on TNT, Inside the NBA, I think is the best television show on TV. It's great. I mean,
it is.
I think they could really ditch Shaq, but other than that.
Shaq's a placeholder. I mean, well, Kenny's mostly a placeholder.
Shaq's kind of got some personality or whatever, but like Shaq, I don't know. He's not my cup of tea.
The value of Shaq is he's willing to talk back to Barkley.
Right.
That's really his. He will put Barkley in check sometimes, which is valuable.
I interviewed Shaq during his career a couple times down in the scrum in the visitor locker rooms. More than a couple times, actually. They're the lowest talker in the history of low talkers.
And a mumbler.
It was just, well, I think I had a great game today.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had to, heaven forbid you were in the back row. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
You'd have to like punch somebody in the face just to get your microphone close enough. But anyway, neither here nor there. Charles Barkley is great because he's not afraid of being negative. He's not negative all the time, but he's not afraid of being negative, and he's not all that concerned about people's opinion of what he says, which means he can say a lot of wild stuff, but it also means he can say some stuff that's pretty on the nose.
Sure.
So I love this, and I actually have only read it, so I haven't heard it, so I'm pretty excited to hear it. This is a commentary on making excuses, I guess, Ben. How would you set it up?
It's about coaching, blaming coaches and specifically talking about the Los Angeles Lakers and the Phoenix Suns, who combined to win one game in the playoffs this year, despite being quote-unquote all in.
All right.
Part of our job, we watch all the games and we watch all the talk shows. You know, a lot of these people on television, they're cowards because they want the players to like them. They don't want to do their job, which is to tell the truth. And I just want to say this about coaching. Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck is because of Darvin Ham, or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jacks on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your job. The Lakers suck, and the Suns suck because of the players. It has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Here, I can tell. Looks like you are... getting that off your chest?
I did. I hate it, man. You sit there like, Darvin Ham needs to get fired. Frank Vogel needs to get fired. Who put them teams together? Them trash teams put together need to get fired. Them guys, they didn't just all of a sudden suck as coaches. People who put them teams together, they start packing up their stuff.
I love Charles so much. He's so right. We talked about it, was it yesterday or the day before, where it's so easy to fire coaches. It's so easy. How do we get the critics off our back, Ben?
Fire the coach.
Let's fire the coach.
Because, again, it's the thing that you've talked about, which is how high do the firings go? Well, we can play another clip. I'll send it to you, Sarah. Maybe we can play it in the next segment. It's Matt Ishbia talking about the Phoenix Suns. Let's do it. Let's play it next.
Well, we've got Locke next.
Okay, we can play it before Locke, because Locke's coming on a little later, right?
All right. Yeah, we can play it before Locke. Well, that guy is obviously on drugs, Ben.
But he's not going to fire himself. So who's he going to fire? The next highest in command. I mean, maybe he'll fire James Jones. He might fire his GM this offseason. But to that point, a lot of the problems is the owners are making a lot of these bad decisions.
I think he should fire his pharmacist.
I'm going to not touch that one.
Well, something's going on.
Charles Barkley's point, I'm trying to be friends with
Matt Ishbia. Something is going on. I don't know. I don't know Matt Ishbia, but I just thought, boy, that's not the rationale of a sober person.
We'll let you hear what Matt Ishbia said before we talk to Locked.
All right. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
We'll have more Jake and Ben coming up right around the corner. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Who's got it better than us?
No!
The best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We want to remind you to make Mother's Day easy and get the best gift ever, a blanket or robe from Miki Couture. Mom will love it. Shop online at MikiCouture.com or at any Miki store. They'll even take care of wrapping. Even better, save 50% using promo code ZONE50. Best gift ever, Miki Couture. We'll talk to David Locke coming up in a few minutes. Of course, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. But first, let's hear from this Ishbia.
This is a follow-up on Barkley saying that blaming the coaches, Frank Vogel, Darvin Ham in L.A. and Phoenix, is stupid because it's the people who put these teams together that have failed.
Yeah, the players failed, and then by extension, the team builders failed.
And
right?
Here's Matt Ishbia, I guess, countering Charles Barkley, though it wasn't in response to Barkley, but two different opinions.
Oh, it's extremely fixable. I mean, let's just be real, although this isn't a cool narrative and the national media really won't want to play it out there, but like, ask the other 29 GMs. 26 of them would trade their whole team for our whole team and our draft picks and everything as is. Like, The house is not on fire. We're in great position. It's not hard to fix. It's not like we're like, hey, we don't have enough talent to win a championship. We have enough talent to win a championship, right? Did we have enough continuity? Do we have time together? Like, there's a lot of things we can look at. Do we have, like, the right leadership in place? Do we have to add some little pieces around that? It's not like we don't have people that can score the ball, not that play defense and have one champ. Like, we have all the things. And so how fixable is it? And, I mean, if I read the media, I would think we have a lot of problems. But luckily, I get to spend time with, you know, the best players in the world, in my opinion, the best coaches, GMs, see, like, all these people, and I get to spend time with our people and say, we're in really great shape, and I wouldn't trade our team or our situation for anyone else's, except for I'd like to be playing right now. But besides that, for, like, how going into the offseason, I feel great about it. It's not like there's a lot of other teams that have good players that have to re-sign them, or they're going to lose them, or that they're unrestricted free agents. Like, our starting five's coming back. I feel very good about it.
All the media tells me that we're screwed, but you should talk to Isaiah Thomas because he thinks we're in a great spot.
Zeke tells me things are good. First of all, slow down. Slow down a little bit. You're talking really, really fast. So slow down a little bit, and that's coming from somebody and myself who talks very quickly. But that's scary to me. Now, what's he supposed to say? Yeah, the ship is going down. We have no chance of fixing this because, truthfully, that's much closer to where they are than what he is trying to sell. There are not 26 teams that would trade their entire roster for what the Phoenix Suns have right now, which is salary cap hell, all sorts of luxury tax problems that are going to be a major issue going forward. The new rules that kick in with this new CBA that make it basically impossible to trade future first-round picks, impossible to trade multiple players in one trade, are going to really hurt teams like the Phoenix Suns. And we haven't seen exactly what that's going to look like yet. I mean, we know what the rules are. We just haven't seen it in practice, and that will start to happen as soon as this season. But, no, it's a mess. And like he said, I mean, he even said we've got to look at, you know, if the people in charge are the right people. Like, he kind of said our leadership issues. Like, he still left himself a pathway to fire Frank Vogel. Now, I don't know if Frank Vogel's an A-plus coach. I don't know if Darvin Ham's an A-plus coach. But they have nothing to do with how this team got put together. And that is a major problem. I mean, trading for Bradley Beal was moronic. And we knew it the day it happened.
So I have two thoughts for you, Ben. One, that people never want to admit that they're wrong.
Yeah.
And it's not even not wanting to admit that they're wrong as much as it convinced themselves that they're absolutely right still, even when the evidence right in front of their face would be like, no, dude, you're wrong then. You're still wrong. But people are like, no, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. I have way too big an ego to be wrong. But you know what I thought of, Ben? I thought of a personal experience in my life when I was listening to him talk. As a 16-year-old, I had to crash a car. And
As one does.
And I got a modest insurance whatever, to go and try and get a new car as a 16-year-old. When I say modest, it means that it cast me into the absolute bottoms of the auto industry.
Yeah.
You know, walking along the little lots that are just selling wrecks, right? So I get to this one lot, and the sales guy comes out. And I remember it specifically, Ben. He used the phrase, runs like a top, like 15 times. And it got to the point where I was like, this guy is so full of it. I mean, like, this car runs like a top. It was old by one old lady who drove it to the store, you know, like perfect condition. And yet I'm looking at the car and I'm like, nah, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. But this guy is spinning it like it's a new Benz. To the point where, and this is 16-year-old me, I point at the biggest heap of garbage on the lot. And I was like, hey, tell me about that one. And it runs like a top.
Yeah, right.
And then everything he would say, I would think in my mind, well, that's wrong. That's not true.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong. When I listen to Ishbia right there, I'm like, well, yeah, that's not right.
Everything you're saying is
like,
wrong.
That's wrong. No, yeah. that's incorrect. And I can't just help thinking, this guy sells mortgages for a living. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about this team. There's 26 other general managers that would swap rosters with me in a heartbeat. And it's like, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's correct. Joining us now, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, the one and only David Locke. What's going on, David?
Not much, Jake and Ben. How are you guys?
We're doing terrific. What are you doing to prepare for the Jazz offseason? Where are you in your offseason prep work, whether it's draft, free agents, trades, whatever?
So I ran the numbers that I have for 5 years, now six, I have a number system that's, you know, pretty amateur, nothing too complicated, in which I look at the draft prospects by numbers. I break it up into numbers I think characterize athleticism, shooting, shot creation, and one other. So just offensive numbers. And I've done the top 35 players on that.
Is the draft as bad as everybody says?
No. But that's my theory, my feeling is no, but. And what I mean by that is that every single player I run on something, then there's like a but statement. So Reed Sheppard has the best numbers shooting and best numbers of probably any player I've ever run. He's in the 90th percentile. He's a decent athletically. He's in the 90th percentile for pick and roll. 100th percentile of all shooters. Like, the amount of players that have been 90% in off the bounce and 90% on catch and, I think it was off the bounce and catch and shoot is like Desmond Bane and nobody else. But he's 6'2", right? Like, are you really using the number one pick of an NBA draft on a guy who's 6'2"? Rob Dillingham comes out, another Kentucky kid, comes out great. But his athletic numbers are enough that I could actually make a really strong claim. He might not make it, and he's 6'1". So that's kind of my feeling, like, you know, and let me be perfectly clear. I haven't seen one of these guys play 1 minute of basketball all year. Like, I know nothing. I haven't watched the film yet. If you look at Cody Williams, Colorado, I've never watched him. I'm sure you have, Ben. So I will not change what I'm about to say, but why don't you tell me what you think of him, and then I'll tell you what the numbers say.
He's big. He's athletic. He disappears sometimes. But when he's doing things, they all look right. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the numbers said he's athletic. He came out as the most athletic of any player. The numbers say that he's a really, really high-level shooter. And they say he can't play off the bounce a lick. Accurate?
Yeah, he didn't show that a lot at Colorado, yeah.
Two other guys that were really looked good. Oh, crap. Now, I know so little about these. McLean out of Duke.
Had a good
tournament. What do you know about McLean out of Duke?
He had a really good tournament.
I never watched him.
Yeah, he had one really big game in the tournament and put himself back into that borderline lottery spot.
So he came out, he and the kid out of, gosh, you're going to have to help me out. Is it Culver? It's not Culver. Virginia Tech or someone like that, a little older, 21, 22 years old.
Not totally sure.
I did my podcast on this today, but now I can't remember it. It's only been like an hour since I did it.
Javon Porter?
No.
Pepperdine?
Another little guard.
I think that might... No, Porter's bigger.
Around 15, 16 projected. Anyway, my point on this is both those guys look great. Both are 6'3".
Yeah.
Right? So, like, the five guys that came out of my draft that I looked at, the numbers said are really, really good, and that's not any... And frankly, Sheppard looks better than anyone I've ever seen in a lot of ways. On numbers, you know, hey, Victor's numbers weren't great. So, I mean, like, you can miss on numbers pretty easily. But...
Devin Carter at Providence, by the way, is who you're talking about.
You're really, really good. Thank you. Have you seen him play?
I haven't.
Okay. So anyway, my point on all these guys is the draft bad? Well, honestly, like from a number standpoint, like just looking for players, just as many players turned out that they look good on this draft as have in years past. But there's a but statement on every single one of them, right? Like Cody Williams looks really good, but clearly doesn't seem to have an off the bounce game. Shepard looks amazing, but are you really using the number one pick on the draft on a 6'2" and a half guard in a league where it seems like if you're not 6'4", you can't play? Dillingham looks really, really good, but his athleticism numbers are actually so bad that I can't actually find players with numbers that bad athleticism to survive. You know, and the two kids we just talked about, they look good, but they're both 6'3". So to me, like, I just think there's a but statement, which means there's probably not a star, but there's definitely going to be some players. There were three guys I looked at whose shooting numbers are those three of the worst shooting numbers that I've done in 5 years. Castle out of Connecticut, who a scout called me afterwards and said to me, a guy, a player personnel guy, say, well, he might be Marcus Smart. I went and looked at Marcus Smart's shooting numbers. They were bad, but I don't think they were that bad. And then the two G League Ignite guys, and you've had a really good point on G League Ignite, that maybe it takes longer for those guys, but the Matthias, if that's his name, and Ron Holland, like I can't find, and I only have 5 years of data, but in 5 years of data, I don't have players that have made that survive with those shooting numbers. And Castle might be the second pick of the draft. So, yeah, it's probably not great. I don't know that I think it's as bad as everyone says. I don't know. I've done a bunch of analysis also on what is a good draft and what is a bad draft. And so, you know, I think the real question is, like, where does it just fall off the table? On the bad drafts, what happens is you fall off the table and there's just not any other play. There's no players left and you go, you know, in retrospect, you go 9, 10, 11, 12 picks where nobody actually made the league.
David, we just played some comments from Matt Ishbia in his press conference yesterday, which I think he might be a tad delusional. But I want to ask you this question. Whose future would you rather have, given their current circumstances, the Lakers or the Suns?
So I'm not sure I do think Matt Ishbia is as delusional as you guys were saying, just a thought. Like, I mean, I think his point is that, like, most teams would like to have Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. I think that's probably true. Like, you know, like, I don't think that's that crazy a comment.
Well, maybe not Bradley Beal.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I mean, hey, I thought Bradley Beal's last minute and a half was really disturbing.
Oh, 90 seconds?
No, it was awful. Yeah, it was as bad a stretch as I've seen.
No, I mean, he, like, commits two fouls and turns it over and just gets himself out of the game. And it's like, it was seriously, like, every, you know, question on him of whether he's just a losing player, just, like, saw it right there. You're like, oh, that's why there's questions. Like, you can decide that's unfair for a guy who averaged 30 at one point in the league, but that stretch right there is why you're saying that. So I understand what he's – I don't think it's as delusional in the sense of, like, his point is I got three of the best players in the league. Now, hey, he has no draft picks and he has no flexibility. He's over the second apron and there's all sorts of problems in that nature. But we'll see. Do the Lakers or the Suns was the question. I think I'd rather be the Suns. They have Devin Booker, who's 28 years old. I mean, for saying future, like next.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather be the Suns next year, and I'd probably rather be the Suns in 5 years. Because if I hold on to Devin Booker, I have one of the top 10 players in the NBA still.
But the Lakers will likely have Bronny James, so does that.
Well, the Lakers do have three first-round draft picks and a lot more roster flexibility in the next few years than the Suns do. And that is the
They
difference.
Do, but, and I know we have our draft picks and we love our draft picks, but like how far, like I thought this was interesting. I was doing a study recently on where I was giving grades to every pick that's been made and then being able to figure out the expected value of draft position. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So like I graded every position on like, so if you got an MVP candidate, you got a 10. And if you got an all NBA top 20 player, you got a 7 for that pick and a 5 for a top 50 player and a 3 for a starter and a 2 for a rotation player, 1 for borderline and 0. And I did it for every draft back to 2003, I think, and looked at expected pick value. We can talk about that if you want to. What I thought was interesting is the 2020, the Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Josh Giddey draft. So that's the 2020 draft or 2021?
2021.
Like, I couldn't grade it. Like, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what Cade Cunningham is. I have no idea what Jalen Green is. I have no idea what Josh Giddey is. Like, I mean, I see him now. I mean, I know without a day, but, like, I still don't know. So, like, I love first-round draft picks, and I'm glad we have them, and it's valuable to us, and they're wonderful assets. But in regards to, like, those guys are 3 years in the league. I have no idea. I'm not even sure any of them help you win a game yet. So, like, I kind of wonder if, like, you know, what do we – yeah, they got draft picks, but, like, how far in the future are we talking? Because – if you draft those draft picks, I think you're 4 and 5 years out on any draft pick before they really help you win a game still.
That does.
Unless they're Victor, right? Like, I mean, okay. But like.
Well, but even Anthony Edwards, who is great and is a superstar, he started this year really making a difference. I mean, the.
And he's year five, right?
Yeah, this is his fourth year in the league, I think, right?
Yeah.
He was drafted in 2020.
Okay.
So, right, he was that good. There was some real belief that he was going to be that good. He was a one and done kid, but it took 4 years before he turned into a guy. You're right.
And he's the number one pick of the draft. Right? Like, yep. He's the number one pick. So, yeah, I get it that, like, the Lakers have future draft picks and the Suns don't. But, like, then, you know, some of those picks are 5 years from the day they're drafted before I think they help you win a game. Unless the Lakers are so – in which case, if they're not – okay, to the question, if they're not that, then – that means you were drafting 1, 2, or 3 in your draft, and then the Suns definitely have a better future because the Lakers are drafting 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, David,
here's a note for you on this. The average pick value that I came up with after the 11th pick of the draft, okay? So, again, 3 was a starter, 2 was a rotation player, 1 was a borderline player. 0 was they never contribute or they're non-contributor. And 5 was top 50. Okay. From the 11th pick on, the average pick value, do you have any guess if I gave you those numbers?
Oh, 1.5?
1.1.
Yeah.
You're getting a rotation player every other pick after 11. Good drafts are like 14, bad drafts are like 9.
David, looking at some of the teams that have been eliminated or are going to be eliminated, are there cast-off pieces or players you think have value in poaching?
Well, I know Phoenix has one of the greatest situations in the world, but with Devin Booker having 4 years on his deal, and I know he didn't want to come here out of the draft, how much would you give Phoenix?
You'd give them a, I don't want to say untold number of draft picks, but more than 3 firsts in salary matching to get there.
Yeah. I mean, so I make that phone call, certainly.
Yeah.
It's top 10 play. You know, that's the best. I don't think he's available, but they can't really, Durant doesn't have any value, I don't think, at this point. And they can't trade Beal. He's got no trade clause. So can you, you know, it's an interesting question. If you sent them 2 good players for salary matching and a cadre of picks, how much worse are they? Like, Beal gets to be Beal, and Durant is your man, and you actually have depth and support players. If you gave them 2 or 3 players that could actually play, I might argue they're better. I'm a big believer in, and I thought it wasn't going to, I think this is interesting because I thought it wasn't going to matter in the playoffs, but I'm a big believer that you got to have 240 minutes of basketball on your roster. And when you don't have, that's 5 times 48. If you don't have a full roster of NBA players, it's just too hard to get through games and get through the season when guys have injuries. And that's what happened to Phoenix this year. But what also happened is, like, they didn't have 240 minutes. When Grayson Allen went out, they suddenly just didn't have they were nowhere close to 240 minutes. And then they looked terrible in the playoffs, too, which was really interesting to me. Because the whole theory this whole time is, well, yeah, you need 240 in the regular season, but you can reduce your rotation down. You know, well, maybe not. You know, Milwaukee doesn't have 240 minutes of NBA players. They got better as the year got on. They added some players, and they're a little closer. But I think that's why they're struggling. New York has 240 minutes of players, man. They've had it all year. Like, there's not a weak spot when they bring somebody in, and then they had enough depth that Miles McBride stepped in for Emmanuel Quickley. He's pretty good. So I do kind of wonder, and I don't want to say names, but you could go piece together three Jazz players and send them to Phoenix. I'm not sure they're not better just because they're getting 80 minutes worth of basketball for a guy who was playing 34. Maybe they're even getting 90.
David, we thank you as always. Appreciate you dropping by, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. And look forward to reading. Ben, when are you starting to publish all your draft stuff so I can get smart?
I think I'm going to start today, actually. So I'm going to turn on some games. In fact, I'm going to watch Kentucky. So I'll watch Rob and read a little more.
All right. I'm telling you, there's not – I do it on my podcast today if you're having a hard time sleeping tonight and you need to listen to something. But, like, I've never had – in 6 years, I've never had the numbers that Reed Sheppard has.
Next to Zach Edey, because Zach Edey was a freak, Reed Sheppard's was the best college basketball player this year.
And the one thing I think's relevant – of how good Reed Sheppard's numbers are, is that you have all the COVID guys. So he had the best numbers I've seen in 6 years against the oldest players anyone's ever played against.
Yeah. He's a little old, but still 20.
Well, he's interesting because he's old. Like, it seems like his dad, who, you know, is – you can go read the papers. His dad must have held him back for athletic purposes.
Yeah.
Early in his – and so he's always been a year – you know, he's not Shabazz Muhammad, who was 3 years ahead, but and turned out to falsify his birth certificate. But it does seem like they held him for athletic purposes, which then makes you wonder, like, is he as good as his numbers are?
Sure.
Like, Dillingham's almost a year younger, I think.
David, thanks.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
See you guys.
The one and only David Locke. He joins us on Thursdays, and we appreciate it. Got nerdy.
Well, here's the thing, going back to Ishbia. And, like, what you're actually fighting for, it's like, Ishbia has the biggest house on the block and there's no roof on it. So, like, cool, you've got this great foundation and you have all this space and there's no roof, so the house doesn't serve any purpose. And maybe we just get lost a little bit too much in rings culture, but if there's no pathway to get to the finish line, which I don't think there is with this Phoenix Suns team, as we learned, they just got swept in the first round with all this talent. They're not close to a title. They've got all the biggest names. They're in the right neighborhood, right? But the house doesn't have a roof on it, so you can't use it. What's the value in that?
I'm going to pick on David a little bit here just for a second because he can take it. But in one answer, he said, well, I don't think Ishbia is entirely wrong. He's got these three players. Everybody wants those three players. And then in another answer, he said, well, Devin Booker might be on the move. Yeah. What would you offer for Devin Booker? And it's like, well, no, if what Ishbia says is correct or he believes it, he's not moving Devin Booker, and he's not going to move his only good player. I mean, I don't agree with David that Bradley Beal, every general manager would want Bradley Beal. I don't think one general manager wants Bradley Beal. And Kevin Durant is older.
You know why?
He is not dominant Kevin Durant.
Here's why I would want those three players. And it's only two of them because Bradley Beal is not in this conversation. He's not. He's too expensive. He has a no trade clause. You can't use him. He's bad. Bradley Beal is a huge net negative. You have to attach assets to get off of Bradley Beal. I would love to have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant so I could trade at least one of them and recoup whatever draft. But
they're not going to do that.
Matt Ashby's not going to do it. So it doesn't matter. No. It's what the term white elephant. It's what the white elephant means. It's this gift that's so great that it bankrupts you because you have to feed it and take care of it. Kevin Durant is a white elephant. He seems so great, but if you're unwilling to trade him, he has zero value to you because he will not get you where you need to go. It's a huge problem.
I agree. But that doesn't feel like a very Danny Ainge move either to acquire Devin Booker, because in order to do it, you'd have to overspend because the owner's not going to do it. You'd have to make the offer so worth it that they're not going to pass. That's Danny Ainge pounces on Kyrie Irving, who decided he doesn't like LeBron anymore, where they're desperate to get rid of their star, or they're motivated to get rid of their star, not, well, I'm going to pry this star out of Phoenix. That's when you end up making bad moves. That's when you end up doing what the Knicks did for Carmelo Anthony, where you give them everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got Carmelo Anthony, but you got nothing left.
No, the move out there right now that kind of screams what you're talking about with Danny Ainge, and I'm not saying this is going to happen at all, and maybe he's also equally Bradley Beal untouchable, though he's a much better player, is, well, the Milwaukee Bucks just spent, and this is, I said this in my podcast,
nowhere.
They spent $100 just for a round number, $100 on Damian Lillard. Well, Damian Lillard's no longer a $100 player. He's an $80 player. And the Jazz this offseason buy him for $60, right? And they get an $80 player for $60, where a year ago they were willing to spend $100, and someone did in Drew Holiday and draft picks. And the Jazz say, okay, he's no longer the $100 player, and people are going to think that's bad. But actually the value is we're getting an $80 player for $60. That's a Danny Ainge type of move, right, which is we're going to get the player that actually has a better value than the universal thought, and you're paying less for him, even if he's not what he once was. That kind of screams a Danny Ainge move to me, whereas, you know, they were interested a year ago. I'm not sure Danny Ainge gets swayed so much by one bad season in Milwaukee that he thinks that this guy, Damian Lillard, is no longer playable, when by all reports last year he was interested in him.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next. It's Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 EKSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you to nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests and listen every afternoon to every Thursday afternoon, to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union.
The Los Angeles Lakers are expected to part ways with Darvin Ham in the near future, according to Jovan Buha of The Athletic. Right.
Yeah.
Ham was hired by the Lakers in 2022, replaced Frank Vogel. I forgot that that's who he was replacing.
Yeah.
Of course. Because now Frank Vogel's on the second hottest seat.
Oh, he's going to lose his job too.
Yeah, probably.
I love it. I love it that, you know, Ishbia thinks he's going to come in and show everybody how it's done. And then he does it the same way everybody does. Well, I can't fire these players. Plus, I kind of hero worship them. So, well, let's fire the coach.
And look, there are there are moves. I do believe the idea that if you get those three guys on the floor together more next year, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, they will be better together. The more you play together, the better you are. Our show is better today than it was 6 months ago because we have chemistry. We're better with Sarah now than we were a year ago because she was newer and she's better at her job now. So that's an advantage. That helps. They can go out and make a run at a minimum contract and see if that interests Chris Dunn. If the Jazz don't want to pay Chris Dunn more than that, maybe Chris Dunn says, well, I'd like to go play with those guys. I'll go down to Phoenix. It's warm there. I don't like Salt Lake. It's cold. Never heard Chris Dunn say that in my life, by the way. But, you know, sure. That little things like that will help. That's probably a better option than what they started the season with and some of these other vets that they could retool around. Now, the problem is I don't know if a lot of vets saw enough from Phoenix to say, oh, yeah, I'll go play on a minimum contract there. Remember David West passed up signing with the Pelicans for like, or maybe it was the Spurs even, for like $12 million, and he went and signed a minimum deal with Golden State, and he won a title. Well, that's not at all what Phoenix has portrayed that they're close to doing. So I think that's going to be an issue, is they probably won't get some of those guys.
No, they won't.
So that's going to be the issue is, yeah, maybe you have your starting five back. It's not a great starting five. He said they have great defensive players. They don't. But, yeah, you can fire Vogel. See if that helps. I don't know.
What do you bet me they hire J.J. Redick, LeBron's buddy?
In L.A.
In L.A.
Certainly has been kind of the rumor. He's been up for the Charlotte job. But, yeah, LeBron started doing a podcast with J.J., and they're talking X's and O's. And they drink wine together on this podcast, and then LeBron says, yeah, hire him. That means LeBron's the head coach.
Yeah.
Very possible.
He's also the general manager. And he's going to make a move for Trae Young or something ridiculous. You, Palinka.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. Jeannie Buss was supposed to be the sane child that was going to step in and re-guide the Lakers. I'm pretty sure she has no idea what she's doing. Rob Palinka was Kobe's agent, if you'll remember. Like, do you not have a Rolodex? Do you just hire the people that are in your immediate sphere? Has Rob Palinka even ever, like, represented anyone else?
Oh, yeah. Dante Exum, right? But it was LeBron's guys. Or LeBron.
Well, I mean, I just like Jeannie hires Linda Rambis. She hires Rob Pelinka. It's like, I don't know. She's not running. She's hiring her friends. She doesn't know what she's doing is my point. I don't think Jim knew what he was doing. I don't think Jeannie knows what she's doing. Right? All right. Good time for the Lakers. Out of the two games tonight, Bucks Pacers, Ben, Indiana leads 3-2, and the Knicks Sixers, New York up 3-2. How many series do we see finished this evening?
I don't think we're going to see Dame or Giannis tonight. So Indiana should bounce back at home. I mean, Milwaukee played great in their last game. They really were good. And Chris Middleton still has something in the tank. He's not a superstar, but like, am I betting on Malik Beasley to have a huge game again? No. Is Bobby Portis going to keep it together? I don't know. Probably not on the road. He's really up and down. So I would bet Indiana closes it out. They know they have to. I don't think they're going to go back to game seven, potentially with Dame and Giannis maybe available in a game seven, because they look at the second round and say, well, maybe we could beat the Knicks or maybe we could beat the 76ers. So let's go out and push it for a game seven. We'll get a couple days off and then we can play there. So I think there's a better chance that closes out. Well, I mean, what, they're going back to New York right now? Or no, they're going back to Philly, 3-2. Yeah, more likely Indiana closes it out. But I wouldn't rule out the Knicks.
Yeah, I think probably more likely Indiana. I think Philly gets the W. I think Philly gets the win.
They need Joel to make life easier on Tyrese Maxey. You're still asking a lot of Tyrese to be points in the final 30 seconds.
Yeah, Embiid stunk last
And Joel
game.
Should be the best player in that series. Like, right. Of course he's better than Jalen Brunson. I love Jalen Brunson. Joel's the reigning MVP, and before his injury this year was having the greatest statistical season we've ever seen. He's awesome. He still should be awesome. But you're also betting on the rest of the supporting cast in Philly to not be terrible, and I'm not sure I totally believe, as smart as Nicholas Batum is, as smart as Kyle Lowry is, that they're going to bring it every night. Or that they're going to get this crazy last-minute production to put them in this spot where they have a chance to win, to send that game to overtime. So we could have two closeouts tonight, but I would more bet on Indiana because they're playing at home. All right. I'd love game seven in both, personally.
Stay tuned. We'll wrap things up. Coming up right around the corner, it's the Jacob Ben Show, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You have sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Two amigos on the airways, talking sports. They got him and Jake's Alonso, loves his tie guy. Ben's got style with his scarves. Oh my.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You know, this just puts me in a good mood now.
Island living.
This segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. We also want to remind you to join Hans and Scotty coming up on Monday from noon to 3 as they broadcast live from Mickey Couture in Layton. Make Mother's Day easy and get the best gift ever, a blanket from Mickey Couture. Mom will love it. Shop online at MickeyCouture.com or at any Mickey store. Speaking of Hans.
Yeah.
And our great musical creations on this show. You see that our guy Rock got his first offer?
That's got to be one of the best feelings of all time, right? Getting a scholarship offer? Where's he going?
Well, he got an offer from Washington State.
Did he sign his papers?
I don't think so.
Is he locked in?
He said it's his first offer.
Then lock in, buddy.
And
your first love.
He sent out a very, apparently he and Hans surprised Amanda with the news, and there's a very charming
Amanda
video.
Amanda is Hans's wife. And
online of how excited she is for him and all that. Very, very cool.
Is that all the kids got scholarships? Because he's got a bunch of daughters who play volleyball, right?
He does? So, well, yeah, of course, Hans, he knew this going into the relationship. Amanda, a world-class athlete herself,
this
volleyball
was
player.
A little bit of a Yao Ming situation.
Yeah, right, where, like, yeah, he knew what he was doing.
This was Jurassic Park.
He's like, we're not paying for college. We're not. Hey, Hans, have you started a college fund for your kids? This is years ago. No.
Yeah, it's called My Wedding Day.
Yeah. These kids are getting scholarships. Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's called the Singles Ward. I was looking for scholarships. Catch my drift.
So shout out to Rock.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It is incredible. It's really cool. Happy for him. God, I've known Rock since he was a little kid. He is not small anymore.
Yeah, he was never a little kid. He was always big for his age, and now he's very big for his age. And you will not be the last. In fact, I'm surprised it was a not local school that offered him first.
Well, Rock still has another year to go.
Yeah,
so he's, well, another year, 2 years?
He's a, I think, is he not a senior this year?
I think he's going to be a junior this year.
Regardless.
I should know.
Yeah.
Apologies. But no, I think it's pretty early in the process. I would guess that we're going to see some local schools follow suit. But shout out to Rock for getting an offer.
6'6", 275, class of 2025. So this is, he's going into a senior year.
Okay. Got to go out there and wreck some shop.
Got an offer to Washington State.
But happy, certainly happy for the Olsen.
No, it's incredible.
Family.
Yeah.
How weird is it going to be coming up, though, that, like, I thought about this, that Washington State is in the Pac-2?
That was my thought, too. When I saw it last night, I was like, it's not a Mountain West school. It's a P5 school.
But I was just thinking how hard it is, has got to be to recruit to that, because they just don't have a determined future in any way, shape, or form. It's not really their fault, because Washington State kind of has to stay in this. The Pac-12 has to be a thing for them, basically, to get their money. So they can't move into the Mountain West or attract other schools. They're in this weird just hold. And, you know, I feel bad for Washington State and Oregon State.
Oh, man. It could have gone better for Utah, but thank goodness it didn't go worse.
Could easily have gone worse.
Like, you could have gone to the Big Ten. I guess that's kind of Utah fans' dream scenario. I actually don't know if that's better. I get that the finance is there. But, like, if they were having you the same way, halving you the same way they are with Oregon and USC and all these teams, they're like, well, okay, little brother. We're not going to give you all the money up front. Like, Utah getting a full share of the Big 12, walking into this conference where they are as a program with the head coach they have, is a pretty great scenario. It's a pretty great situation.
I don't know where this fantasy has come from about Utah going to the Big 10. I don't know what's created that.
Well, after they turned down the SEC, that was...
I mean, I don't know where that's come from. I mean, you think if Utah was... Why aren't they in the Big 10? But the Big 12 could easily have said... Well, we've got BYU, so we've got your market.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good.
We're good. Or we're only taking Arizona State. We just don't want to expand that much.
You know, if the Big 12 wasn't truly into putting down the Pac-12 like they were, obviously, your mark, go back to, you know, the lobbing grenades comment at Pac-12 Media Day. I mean, your mark was obviously out to subdue the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was part of the incentive to take Utah. But it could have easily said, no, that's good. We're solid. And I don't know how much Colorado stuck up for Utah, which I would guess would be nice. But, yeah, Utah's in a scenario as they could have hoped for.
The only reason Utah's there is because of their own doing, because they won a bunch of games. If Utah was bad, there would have been no reason to have them. You didn't need Utah. But you needed Utah because they were really good. That's why Utah is there. Because Utah has been to two Rose Bowls and has a bunch of Pac-12 titles. That's why. If Utah had been a horrendous program, you already had Utah, like you said. You already had the area. You already had the valuable TV market in the state because you had BYU. You didn't have to have Utah. You could have gone Vegas. You could have gone San Diego State. Like, you could have gone to a better geographic area, but Utah's a winner. Utah's a team, and they have done that themselves, so credit them for that.
All right. On the way out, in honor of Rock, do we want to play Second Chances on the way out?
Absolutely. This is a first chance. Now,
congratulations to Rock Olsen.
No throw in anymore.
First D1 offer.
Throwing a rock to Washington State.
Go Cougs. All right. We give you Second Chances.
Thanks, Sarah.
Got a story about a man named Hans. Used to play ball, had big dreams and plans. But he wasn't as good as his Uncle Merlin. Always felt like he was just to throw it in. Now his son Rock, he was just to throw it in. Now his son Rock, he's the real deal.
it's Rock's turn. He's gonna make his mark. Let the world love learn. Let the world love learn. Learn. Set to make his mark. The Rock's gonna take it to the highest spot.